In his State of the Union address, President Bush spoke of challenges the nation faces, boosting the economy at home, fighting terrorism both at home and abroad. The president set out his agenda on a variety of topics, from fighting AIDS to developing a hydrogen fuel-celled car. A group of citizens from Mobile, Alabama, gathered this morning over breakfast at a place called the Tiny Diny to discuss the president's speech and offer their views on the State of the Union. NPR's John Idsty reports.
The Tiny Diny is a Mobile institution, a blue-collar diner where middle-aged professionals occasionally show up to reconnect with their culinary roots. Back in the kitchen, Michael Ballard is preparing food for the lunch crowd.
Meatloaf, beef tips and noodles, chicken pot pie, lemon, butter carrots, Tiny Diny specials.
I'm having an egg over easy with grits and bacon and biscuits. And this is not the way I eat every day. Sure is a treat.
I'm having a waffle and sausage patty.
Gigi Armbrecht and Michael Pierce are in one of the Tiny Diny's side rooms. Gigi is an executive at Bell South. Michael works in community redevelopment. They're joined by several associates who sit with them on a local betterment committee, including Kathy O'Keefe, a university professor. Terry Harbin, a banker, kicks off the discussion of the president's speech last night. He's followed by Merceria Ludgood, a lawyer.
I thought it was a good speech. We've talked around the table today about some of the pluses and minuses. The one thing that really strikes me, though, about the speech and about the president is he's not afraid to lead where he believes the nation ought to go. And while I didn't agree with everything he said, I have to admire the fact that he is not a poll-driven president, that he is somebody who looks at the issues and then comes back and tries to lead in a direction that he thinks we ought to go. Sometimes that's popular, sometimes it's not.
I was sitting there, I guess, three-fourths of the way through this speech saying, does he really think we're idiots? And he was saying all the things that everybody wanted. He was like playing, okay, let me pull a little piece out of this one, a little piece out of that, something for everybody. But then when he talked about how he was going to make it happen, that's when it just failed miserably. He just kind of ticked off the things he knew people were going to be sitting listening for, but from a realistic standpoint, no real plan for how to do it.
Michael Pierce, though, liked what he heard from the president on a number of specifics.
I like to focus on trying to work with faith-based groups to deal with a lot of the problems that we have in our communities. I also like the idea of trying to make certain that all of our children can read. We in this country have got to realize unless we all achieve, we're going to suffer. Because we're always going to have a segment of our community that's going to be a liability rather than an asset to us, and they're going to be a drain on us.
I think that the president painted a very rosy picture of the last couple of years, with the exception, of course, of 9/11. I think a lot of his proposals are exciting. I disagree with him about the war or the potential of war, but a lot of his proposals are things that we need, but at the same time, I kept thinking about my own family, my own budget. How do you reduce your income and spend more money?
All the other women at the table joined with Gigi Armbrecht in questioning whether the U.S. should go to war against Iraq, even though two of them voted for President Bush. The men supported the president's approach. Here's a comment from Kathy O'Keefe, followed by an exchange between Merceria Ludgood and Michael Pierce.
I'm very, very concerned. I have four sons, aged 20 to 27, and potentially I am Private Ryan's mother.
History will tell us if you have a tyrant like Saddam Hussein and you do nothing, then you can expect something to happen, and it's not going to be anything that the world community is going to be proud of. While I'm not in favor of bloodshed, I love to sit down at the peace table and work it out. There are instances where war is necessary, and I think ultimately this situation is going to prove so, that we're going to need to do something about this man.
Syria, you have something to say.
I guess I'm saying, why now? It's not like we woke up 3 months ago and Saddam was this new person. Saddam has been Saddam. He's been, so why now? What's the urgency? Why, I mean, this started out as an Al-Qaeda. We were searching out Al-Qaeda, and then all of a sudden we're back in Iraq. And that's why I just can't buy that we've got to do this now. It's not, he hasn't done anything new. That's my only point.
So then are you then suggesting that Bush's focus is on Iraq is because of what happened with his father? as a personal vendetta?
That would be so cynical, Michael. I'm asking. Said anything.
Because you say there's a sense of urgency, and if that sense of urgency and is under the watch of this particular president, in spite of the fact that September 11 has happened, we do know that he does fund terrorist networks and all of those types of things, then what is the rationale to say we shouldn't deal with this situation?
When asked about concerns beyond those addressed in the president's speech last night, Merceria Ludgood, an African-American, raised this issue.
What I would have liked the president to have talked about was leveling the playing field. And I know that people are tired of hearing about things about race, about affirmative action. They're tired of hearing about it. But I keep saying to just be silent. I mean, the silence for me was just deafening on that, because that's on a lot of people's minds.
Political issues give way to more personal matters, though, when you ask these folks from Mobile about their most basic concerns and priorities. This is Gigi Armbrecht, followed by Michael Coops.
My husband and I are 50-somethings. We have good jobs. We have good benefits. And every month we put money in our 401k, and every month it shrinks. And I can't even keep up with my own contributions into my 401k. And we're pretty resigned to the fact that we're never going to get to retire. It's not a question of, is it going to be 60 or is it going to be 65 anymore? It's, when is it ever going to be?
For me personally, the most pressing issues are, the Bible speaks of a good man leaving a heritage for his children's children. I wonder what, 20 years from now our country will be like. My oldest son is 10. The youngest is 6. For me, America is drunk on the wine of sensuality, and it reeks with a foul odor. We have so many of our young children dressing and speaking in unbecoming ways for young children. Respect is a thing of the past as it relates to our young people, and that's a reality.
Michael Pierce discussing the State of the Union with some professional colleagues at the Tiny Diney Diner in Mobile, Alabama. By 9:30 this morning, all were headed to work, where conversations about the president's speech no doubt continued throughout the day. John Itzty, NPR News, Mobile, Alabama.